Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Yielding to the Spirit opens the treasure trove of God's gift in our world, our life. To have the key to the happiness that we desire in our life is to yield to the Spirit. The other day I was checking out of a soup and sandwich place, and after I placed my order at the counter, the server was kind enough to ask, anything else? And I said, yes, I'll take some love, joy, and happiness. She gave me that look, and she said, I thought happiness and joy were about the same thing. And I said, there's a way to experience a joy even when the circumstances aren't happy. It's a relationship with God that releases His love for us. And then when the circumstances are happy, then we get all the more joy in our life. She said, that's a lot, but I like it. Okay. The sense of good news that we have to share with everyone and to know for ourselves. The sense that God's Spirit creates us all to be winners, and there's a breakout moment in our life, both when we first say yes to God's love through Jesus Christ, He truly enters into our way of living life, that's called Savior and Lord, and then we open ourselves to the fullness of what Christ provides for us. That's His resurrected presence called the Holy Spirit that's been a part of, well, the fullness of God from the very beginning. So the treasure trove that we find in the Bible is listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 of what the Spirit grows in our life. We've just been singing beautifully with the orchestra, the chorale, with Juliana and with Jacob about building the Spirit within our life. And if you walk down the center aisle after today's service, you'll see on our stained glass door the listing of the fruit of the Spirit. We pray this into the sanctuary that the Spirit will be released to grow this in our life. And most of you know this list by memory. You prayed for it in your life. And here it is. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and say it with me, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, which one of those are you praying for your husband, your wife, your son, or your daughter to get more of in their life? Which one are you praying to be more in your life, that yielding the Spirit to the next place within your life? You notice that self-control was listed last and not first. It grows into our life through the other fruit of the Spirit that God grows for us. So self-control is fueled by this loving relationship. So we begin with the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to walk through the steps of the Spirit by which He actually grows us in our life, but we'll step into this treasure chest that God makes possible. It begins with loving relationships. The fruit, that means God grows it, the fruit of the Spirit at work in our life begins with love, and love shows itself in our relationships with the Lord, with God, our relationship with others, and our relationship with ourselves. How's your love for God? How's your love for others? How's the love for yourself? The Spirit wants to grow that in your life. Mother Teresa put it this way. Most people can't accomplish great things in their life, but everyone can perform small acts with great love. Meaning that all of us can put acts of love into our life, and they be small acts of love, and then God grows the greatness from there instead of our trying to become the celebrity and do the big grand slam by some great deed, but to let it grow from these acts in our life. When you're driving along and you let somebody get in front, you let a car come in front of you, and because they're caught in the jam, yielding onto the highway. You're at HEB, and you see somebody in front of you needs an extra dollar to kind of cash out, and you give that dollar. There's somebody that asks you for the third time, now what did you say? And you tell them again with a sense of patience, maybe a little more emphasis. the sense of this kind of love and kindness which comes together. And this joy is the sense of this deep source of the indwelling of God's love for us through Jesus and letting that grow out. I remember the day that changed my life. It was a sense of a throwaway day. It was just a normal day. I'm standing in the kitchen and I was looking out the kitchen window and I was, you know, feeling the pressures of life. You know how that is. And this and that was going on. And the Lord says, Leslie, I can give you joy in the midst of everything if you'll trust me and yield to me. Don't let all this control whether you're happy or sad or stressed out or not. Just let me grow my presence within you. And I said, yes, Lord, I need you to do that. And in that day, the Spirit just gave an awareness that there is a yielding in the moment that I can access. I can let it happen within me, this joy that he works out, this love, joy. Peace is the harmony of relationships, working out harmony in the disharmony of our world. We've had a week of school going on this week, the beginning of universities and high schools and middle schools and elementary schools, kindergartens, launching Parents Day out this week. I saw this cartoon and I thought of parents trying to help their children get to school, and here's a mother trying to pry her first grader's hands off from hugging that tree. But then the right caption is that the graduate of high school now ready to enter college is trying to get the mother's grip off of him so he can get on to college. You know, there's this kind of flow that's here about this love, joy, peace, and this patience of understanding what God grows us in our different stages of life. It's no secret to my family that Vicki prays for me to have more patience in my life. I come about it honestly. Maybe you do too, if that's your thing that you're growing in. My grandfather, who was an Irishman, a wonderful man, sparkling eyes, just a lot of joy, was not a patient man. He had that Irish temper. And so my father didn't have the Irish temper, but he also had his father's impatience. And as a matter of fact, Dad was working on that to the last day that he died. When my mother got dementia, you talk about impatience plus dementia in the family, that's a tough combo. And then you have a long illness like what he had that led to his own death, and you can't do the things you used to do, that's a tough combo. And what I've come to believe is that God gives us opportunities to get stuff finished in our life that we haven't got finished in our life. If you're not going to do it at 40, maybe 50, 60, 70, 80, if you know this stuff that's there. And what I've had to discover in my own life is that when I am impatient, I have to ask a question. Am I only impatient because this is my personality? And if I say, okay, the Lord says, yep, Les, this is all about you, then I said, God, help me. This is just about me. Now, if it's urgency, if there's something that needs to be going at a faster pace than what it is, or that's not being efficient, that's not being effective, that's a different story to bring together. But with love, joy, and peace, bringing that together, the sense of growing the patience is trusting in God's timing. Patience is trusting in God's timing. Kindness, goodness. Goodness can be translated generosity. Goodness is the very character of God. Goodness is the character of God growing the character within us. And one of the ways that's demonstrated is a generosity. This past Friday and Saturday's quite a few from our church. We're joined with others in San Antonio as we expand our ministry in giving care to the mentally ill that touches almost all of our families in some way or another, and expanding how we do that. And the church is the front line of giving care to the mentally ill. And so I was talking to one of our kind of wise people guiding one of our sessions. And afterwards he said, you know, what can always help is for someone who's working courageously through a mental illness is help them to serve. Help them to serve. Help them to help someone else in need. And in doing so, it both opens that goodness of God in their life and they see they have something to offer to someone else who has a need and not just their own need. are you growing God's goodness in your life? Gentleness, a gentle strength, the kind of gentle strength that brings a firm touch with a lasting difference. Faithfulness, that's a lifestyle of just living your life in a joyful obedience, allowing the faithfulness to reveal God's character wherever you go and where you are. And then into self-control, the last is how we're going to focus going forward and how it is the Spirit makes that possible for us. You notice, if we set self-control first, well, that would be natural for most of us. It would just be an unbridled self-control. But in the New Testament, the word for self-control is the word temperate or meek. And Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit what? Yeah, the only way to know how to live on this earth is with a meekness, but that word could be, blessed are those who are spiritually self-controlled. Blessed are those who are under the Spirit in the midst of living in this world. Then you know how the world works, and you know how to bring God's resources to the practical everyday life that opens it up. Self-control only left to self is only manipulation. But self-control that's under the Spirit, through the fruit of the Spirit shaping us, then brings a confidence that this yielding in the Spirit creates the self-control that then it is the natural birth and outcome of the other eight. So how does Paul lay this out? Well, we find laying out in Galatians 5:16 when he said that first, self-control holds us accountable for our actions. You know, we can't say, well, God didn't give me the strength to hold back, so I just did it. You can try it, but I don't think anybody's going to buy it. But God will give us the strength to struggle with it. He'll give us the strength to be aware of what we need in order not to do the wrong thing. He will give us the goodness in order to learn the character capacity and the skills to do the right thing. The Spirit is never responsible for us doing the wrong thing, and we're held accountable. But the accountability is with a grace judgment. The accountability is, I am with you. Trust me. You messed up. Don't do it again. Here's what you can learn from that. Now get back out there in the relationship and apply this spiritual self-control where you are. And so Paul says we can walk by the Spirit. That means to walk by the Spirit, and then you will not seek first to gratify your own self-control interest, that desires of the flesh. Okay, now this is an important part of the New Testament teaching. You're created in the image of God, created in His goodness. But sin is a part of our world, and sin becomes a part of our life. In order to create some images to describe that, there's a certain word for flesh in the New Testament called sarx, and that's the unredeemed part of ourself. There's nothing sinful in and of the flesh that you touch right now. Nothing sinful in that. But the New Testament word sarx is communicating that left to our own carnal, basic, self-control nature, then we're going to do just a lot of bad stuff and keep on sinning stuff. And so he uses the word then to trust the Spirit and not the flesh. And where God wants to do, He wants to shape my desires and your desires in a way that we desire love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness through self-control, through spiritual self-control. That we then actually come to want that. And self-control disciplines us when we don't want to do the right thing, we still do the right thing, because the Spirit is shaping us for that right action, that right purpose. See, yelling in your family, yelling at someone in your family is not a good thing to do. Yelling under your roof is a natural thing to do. Been there, done that, been a long time, but I can easily do it again. Yelling at someone is never the right thing to do. And when you hear your voice going up, that's your anxiety going up and up. And the Spirit is saying to you, hey, take a step back. Just kind of yield here. Put yourself in time out before you put your kid in time out. Just let yourself be under my spiritual love for you, my spiritual control for you. It is never, never right to hit someone under your roof. Never right. Self-control, spiritual self-control, can keep us from doing that. The spiritual self-control then is a way of allowing ourselves to become the people that we really want to be, to become that person of the fruit of the Spirit that we really yearn to grow within us, and allows God then to turn our desires in the right direction. So in the next verse, Galatians 5:17, Paul wrote, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit." That's sarx. That's that unredeemed part of our character to God. So the contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. So you're not to do whatever you want. Well, here's another way to get at it. Galatians 2:20. I'm a sophomore at college. I'm really working at this kind of, how do you receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit? Is it a second blessing, a hundredth blessing? How do you get filled by the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit? How do you get the Holy Spirit in your life? I'm working with this whole flesh thing, and then a friend shows me Galatians 2:20. And it was just like the Spirit inspired that scripture, and it just grabbed a hold of my collar. And it has created a lifetime transformation, meaning it's still underway. But the scripture is, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It speaks about this human dilemma, I'm alive, and yet Christ died for me to have a new life. And how do I have my new life and yet still have this, this body that I'm in and the set of experiences that I'm living and all this stuff? And it's because all of this is under his authority. It's all under his control. It's all under the crucifixion of Christ that resurrected the Spirit for us. And so being able to do what God's desires is in yielding that unto the power of Jesus on the cross, the resurrection, and in the Holy Spirit. And coming from that then is we're built. It builds our resolve. It builds our resolve to live through God's strength, and it makes sure that we're open to be obedient to God's purposes. And so Paul wrote, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the power of the law. Now, if you read the book of Galatians, it's only 6 chapters, great book to read. You'll notice in chapters 3 and 4, he writes specifically about who's controlling you. Somebody controlling you? Is an old way of living controlling you? Who's controlling you? And he says, I've got a great word for you. You can be set free from all of that and allow the Spirit to just shape you and greet you every morning that you wake up and grow more of that Spirit control within your life. And then you don't have any other kind of force controlling you, but you're under the Spirit's control while you go about living your world that will push and pull and seek to take over. Under the Spirit's care, we really are then set free. So right after the fruit of the Spirit, then Paul writes this in Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. See, the fruit of the Spirit isn't like magic dust. Isn't that nice to have it? It's like the fruit of the Spirit is saying, God who created the heavens and the universe and is creating my life is creating this within me, and I want to open myself and more of that to grow from within me. Now you pray with me and I'll pray with you. Let's help each other. Let's share that good news with others. If we live by the Spirit, then we are led by the Spirit. So as your feet touch the floor, getting out of the bed in the beginning of a day, no, there's a Spirit control that just wants to guide you with all the goodness of God to be the treasure trove that makes you rich in that day and to share the richness of God with others. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we need you, and we're grateful for the gift of being in your presence each and every day, the gift of your Spirit coming to us, that you have a daily vision for our life to grow more of you in us, that we may share more of you in our world through Jesus. Amen. Well, you know, this church, there are no guards at the door that checked your badges before you came in. No political parties were checked out. No income zeros were checked out. No background checks. Everyone is welcome to the experience of worship, because everyone is welcome to the grace of Jesus Christ. This invitation, the style of invitation, is then to say, what are we going to do with that? It's a drama moment. And the Spirit has something for you to respond to right now. For some, that'll be saying yes to Jesus and giving yourself that joyful commitment to follow through. Say, I'm going to follow Christ as Savior and Lord. For others, it's to join into this people, this family, this community of that the fruit of the Spirit is working through, becoming a member in the life of a church. Ann Haley, where are you? There you are. Ann, I've got permission from your family that I can say that you just turned 90 years old. Yeah. And you've got family around you from California, Northern Africa, DFW, and you got your family of Trinity all around. Is it a good thing, Ann, I'm asking you a question now, is it a good thing to be a member of Trinity Baptist Church? Yes. Absolutely, okay. So for a lifetime, this gift for us to be able to grow together in this family of God is what God's called us to, whatever ages that we are. Or maybe that there is, again, that specific prayer that you want to pray about a fruit in your life to grow, whatever that is. Sarah will be here, and Vicky will be over here, and I'll be here for decisions to share. Let's stand together and sing.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.